Welcome to a message from Oasis Church. For more information about Oasis Church and how you can get connected, please visit myoasischurch.com. Here's Pastor Mark Pearl. Enjoy the message.
I want you to find Matthew 15 tonight. That would be in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 15. Let's go there. And just want to take some minutes here tonight to talk about the subject of hope and about not letting go of your hope. The devil will try to steal hope from you. And we'll talk a little bit about that and why it's important that we hang on to our hope and what it is. And so Matthew 15, and we will begin there in Matthew 15 and verse 21. Are you ready? Yeah. It says, "And Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil or a demon." Now, one thing you notice is, first of all, this woman is not a Jewish woman. Okay. But she's been paying some attention because she knows something about Jesus and about his ministry. So she's got something on the ball here. She's learned about him because she calls him the son of David. Yes. Yes. Now, how would she know that, being a Gentile, unless she's been hearing some things about his ministry? So she comes to him to get her daughter delivered. But verse 23 says, "But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she cries after us." Now, literally what they're saying to Jesus is, just do something for this woman so she'll get out of here. But he, verse 24, now notice he's already not answered her a word. And how many like to, you know, come to the pastor and say, "Would you pray for me and I don't answer you a word?" See, I done lost you already. You're already offending God. But this woman didn't go anywhere. All right. "But he answered and said, I'm not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel." So here's the second time he's told this woman, "I'm not doing anything for you. I'm not going to help you because I'm not called. I'm not called to minister to you." See, he was sent to the Jewish people, right? We know he's the Savior of the world, but in his ministry, he was just sent to the Jewish people. It was later on that he sent the Apostle Paul to go, Peter first of all, and then the Apostle Paul to go minister to the Gentiles. And so he tells her no. Verse 25, "Then she came and worshiped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, It's not right to take the children's bread, what belongs to the children of Israel, and cast it unto dogs." All right, so he's told her no three times, and this time he calls her a dog. Yeah. Is anybody offended yet? It's kind of what I thought. Yeah. But literally what he's saying, and she understood the term, I'm sure, when he's saying dogs, you know, the Bible talks about in Revelation, those are outside the city, or there's dogs and so forth. They're not in covenant with God. And if you understand, if you do some study about Canaanite people, they live like dogs. This woman did not live very well, I'm sure. But she's come to Jesus, and she's asked. And three times he said, "I'm not going to help you. I'm not going to do anything." Verse 27, she said, "Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table." Wow. "And Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is your faith. Be it unto you even as you will. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour." Now, there's only two people in the Bible that I can find that Jesus said they had great faith. Both of them were Gentiles. Both of them were Gentiles. And he says, now, you know, Jesus marveled at Jairus' faith. You know, when he said, speak the word only. And he marveled at this woman's faith and said she had great faith. And then we find he marveled at unbelief. In Mark chapter 6, said he could there do no mighty work because of their unbelief. And he marveled at their unbelief. Yeah. He marveled at it. So I don't know what side you want to make God marvel on. I'll take the faith side. Yeah. How about you? So here's the thing. This woman, she heard about Jesus. She heard about his ministry. And she comes there with some expectation that her daughter's going to get delivered.
That's right.
She's expecting something to happen. And then he tells her no three times. And it doesn't put her light out. She's still there. She's still there. She wouldn't let her hopes be dashed because he said no. She just stayed with it. And here's what I found. You know, your hope is, we could say it like this, it's your expectation. It's your expectation. I asked the Lord one time, we had a period of time in the church when I first got into it. I mean, we had some great moves of God. And I was asking the Lord, I said, why did that happen? Why, you know, because you think, well, maybe it was because we prayed. Well, that's part of it for sure. But the Lord said to me, he showed me, he said, the reason why is because people were expecting something to happen.
Come on. Yeah.
Amen. And they were responding like saying amen every now and then. So anyway, they were expecting something. And you have to respond to God or he won't respond back. You know what I'm saying? And so they were expecting something. And the Lord showed me, he said, that's the reason why that you had such great moves. He said, people come expecting. Well, this woman came expecting something, see. And how many know, she got told no three times by Jesus. By Jesus. Now, that would seem like that's final. But she just kept at it. And then finally she said, yeah, I don't deserve this. I know that, but hey, I'm not asking for the whole covenant. Just give me part of it. I'm not asking to be included in the whole thing. Just give me a crumb. That's all I need. I mean, no, you and I don't have to beg for the crumbs today. We got the whole loaf, right?
Yeah.
Amen. And so that's something different. But my point is, what I want you to see is she didn't let her hope rise or fall based on her circumstances. And I see that sometimes. And we all have to battle that. It's like we're expecting God to do something, and then circumstances get worse, and then our hope dims. How many know we need to base, and I'll show you this in a little bit, we need to base our hope, our expectation on something a little bit more concrete than circumstances. Right? How many know circumstances come and go, don't they?
Yeah.
Amen. Have you ever woke up one day and you don't know why, but it you just felt like down? Pardon me for being so carnal, but am I the only one? And you know what? And maybe before the day is over, you're up. You can't base it on that. You got to base it on God's word. Feelings come and go. Feelings come and go. For whatever reason. But this woman, even though Jesus told her no three times, she did not let it dash her hopes. She stayed right there. And I want you to notice, because she wouldn't let go hope, Jesus said, you have great faith. Now, one of the things that's a key to great faith is expectation. How many know what hope is? Hope is an expectation of something good, right? You know, not something bad, something good to happen. And so, what is faith? Faith is the substance of things hoped for. So, hope gives faith a job, doesn't it? If you don't have, you know, I've said it and I've compared it like this, but I think it's a decent example. We got this podium here, you know why? So we could come up here and lay our Bible down on it, right? It's a book rest, right? That's what this is a book rest. But, you know, I could have just said, you know, I just want the book rest here, because this is what I'm expecting this thing to do. I'm expecting this thing to hold my Bible. I'm not expecting to put my Bible on and it falls down and breaks, okay? I'm expecting something. But how many know we got to have a base to support what I'm expecting, right? See, if you don't, see, you got to have both. If I could have said, look, It'll be cheaper if you just send me the book rest. Don't send the rest of it, because they charge for the glass and the rest of it, okay? So don't send that. Just send the book rest. What would have been the problem? What would have happened? Well, my expectation would have never come to pass, because that thing would be on the floor. Wouldn't be up here holding my Bible. So I have to have this, right? I have to have the support. Faith is the support of things we hope for. It'll come in and support it. But at the same time, if it, you know, I've got to have the hope, but I've got to have the faith too. I've got to have the book rest here. There's got to be something there that comes in and supports it. So you got to have both. You can't just have one, you know, and not the other. And if you don't have this, this has nothing to do. And I've just learned this, that if you don't give your faith a job to do, it'll just be dormant. And you give your faith a job to do by expecting some things. Amen. Are y'all out there tonight? All right. So faith gives substance to hope. I hope this is making sense to you. See, well, you know, I like the King James one. In I think it's in Proverbs. It says that where there is no vision, the people perish. So what does that mean? Well, you know, vision's your hope, and your faith will always rise to the level of your vision. What you're expecting, what you're hoping for. If you don't have any hope, faith will just lay dormant. It's got to have a job. You got to give faith a job. You don't give faith a job. If you don't expect things, you won't have any faith working. You got to have an expectation that things are going to change. Amen. That things are going to get better. That things are going to deliverance is going to come, or healing is going to come. If you don't have that, then you don't have anything for your faith to do. I think a lot of people's problem isn't their faith. It's they don't have any expectation. They haven't given their faith a job. You got to give it a job. Amen. We've compared it before, and I know Pastor Chuck has, compared to a thermostat and the air conditioner unit or the furnace. The thermostat is just calling for what it wants, right? That's what hope does. It's calling for what it wants, but you got to have something behind that. You know, I've been in places before where they didn't have air conditioning, they didn't have heat, they didn't have anything like that. And if they had heat, they had wood. They had to build a fire. So I've been in those places like that. And so they could, you know, some of those people that don't know anything about how this works could come here and come into this building, and it's like, you know, 80 degrees in here, and we turn it down to 72, and all of a sudden it starts getting cooler, and they see that box on the wall, and they think the box does it. They think, man, I'm going to go to the hardware store and get me one of those boxes and put it in my hut. I mean, no, it's not going to do anything, is it? Because there's something, you got to know there's more behind it than that, but if you don't have that, you're not going to get that.
That's right.
Right? You got to have them both. So if you don't have the hope, if you don't have the expectation, you're not going to give the furnace of faith anything to do. So nothing's going to come to pass. But you got to have that. You got to have that expectation. You got to have that vision of things changing or things coming to pass. You know, people say, well, you know, I just don't expect anything and I don't get disappointed. Well, you probably live disappointed because you're not receiving what God wants you to have. Amen. So you got to have more than just, you know, we emphasize faith, and I'm going to show you faith is an integral part, but we need to put some emphasis on expectation where we're expecting things to change. So that's why this woman had great faith. Listen, she'd heard of the ministry of Jesus, and she came to him to get her daughter delivered, and he tells her no three times, like, I'm not going to do anything. First, he didn't tell her anything, wouldn't answer her. Next, he said, I'm not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, you know. And then he said, it's not right to take the children's bread and give it to you dogs. So he said no three times, but she didn't let that dash her hopes. She just stayed put. She just wouldn't quit. And she said, hey, I don't want the whole loaf. Just give me a crumb. And Jesus said, for that saying, I could see him smiling too when he said it. For that saying, your daughter's delivered. Hallelujah. And so her hope brought something to pass that really wasn't provided for her yet. But it was it's such a powerful spiritual force that it'll move heaven and earth. Amen. And it moved Jesus. And I know people sometimes say, well, you can't move Jesus. You can't move God. He just does what he wants to. Wait a minute. Faith moved him many times in his ministry. Many times. He's going along to Jairus' house because Jairus, he just shows up and Jairus says, hey, come and lay your hands on my daughter that she may live. And so Jesus, I don't know where he was going. I don't know what he was doing, where he was going to go minister, but he started going to his house. Amen. And on the way there, the woman with the issue of blood stops him. Why? Because of her faith. Amen. Jesus, you know, Smith Wigglesworth said it this way. God will bypass a million people to get to somebody that's believing him. We ought to know this. You know, he wants everybody on this planet saved. Born again tonight. Everybody. Right? So he wants everybody saved. Why? Because he said he did. He said in Timothy, it's his will that all men be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Isn't that right? So he wants everybody saved. But they have to have faith. They have to believe. Amen. You know, they have to do something. Amen. It's not just like God just picks out a few and says, you're going to heaven and you're going to hell and you're going to heaven and you're going to hell. How many? No, he said, whosoever will can come and drink of the water of life freely. You know, people get that whole predestination thing messed up. The church does. If you just read it, Paul tells you what the predestination was that God chose. Paul's writing to the churches and telling them you were predestined. What did he mean by that? Well, go back and read Ephesians chapter 3, the mystery that God gave him, that God was going to include the Gentiles in this and going to make the Jews and Gentiles one body. He predestined us, Gentiles, before the foundation of the earth to be a part of this great body of Christ. Hallelujah. We were all the Gentiles are predestined. The Jews are too, of course, but I'm just saying that's what Paul's message was when he was saying you're predestined. He said, God's already predestined that he did this before the foundation of the world, said the Gentiles. Read it in Ephesians chapter 3. It's as plain as can be that the Gentiles would be a part of this body. Praise God. Thank God we got included in. Amen. And so God wants everybody to be saved, but it's your faith that's going to bring him to you, to minister to you, and to give you salvation and provide it for you. Amen. By grace are we saved through faith. Amen. And so we have to understand that. So I'm just saying to you, this woman's faith became great. Because she wouldn't let her hopes be dashed. She knew about Jesus and she knew his ministry and she knew what he had done and she knew what he could do and she knew what he would do. And so, I don't know if I'm helping you or not, but I tell you what, if you don't have that expectation and you don't expect, well, we'll see what God will do. I'll tell you what he's going to do. He's not going to do anything. Faith's going to move him. And your faith's not going to move if you don't have any expectation. Any expectation of something happening. You don't have any, you know, what we call Bible hope. You know, Bible hope's different than worldly hope. How many know that? People say, I hope so and all that. And I've told you a story before, but it was years ago. I was listening to talk radio. I think I was out for a run or something. I was listening to talk radio, you know, while I was running. And this guy, famous talk radio guy, had a, you know, it was when we had a presidential candidate who was running on the slogan of hope and change, hope and change. And this talk radio guy was saying, hope doesn't change anything, it's worthless. And so this preacher calls in and he starts saying, wait a minute, no, hope's a powerful force. I don't remember what he said, but he's going to bat for hope, that yes, hope does do things, hope does change things. And this radio announcer who was respectful to this guy, he was, but he was just like, hope doesn't do anything. And I thought, you know what? You're both really right. One's talking about one kind of hope. The other's talking about another kind of hope. One's talking about worldly hope, natural hope. One's talking about Bible hope. Abraham, Bible says, who against hope believed in hope. What does that mean? He didn't have any natural hope, but he had some spiritual hope. Because God said, so shall your seed be. When you're 100 years old, your wife's 90, you want to start a family, you have no natural hope. Y'all got that? That just doesn't happen, right? But if God says your seed's going to be great, doesn't matter if you're 100 or 200, it's going to be great. You got some hope. Amen. So we have to know that and understand that, you know, because, you know, sometimes we receive bad news in life. And in the natural, there may look like there's no hope, there's no way, but search the scriptures. Find out if God said something about it. If he said something, you can base your hope on that instead on what maybe you were told in the natural. Amen. I just remember when we came through, you know, I was out. I don't remember where I had went. Maybe I went to Honduras or something. I can't remember now. I'd have to go look at the records and all. But I came back and COVID had hit America. You know, I'd heard rumblings about it, you know. But I came back and it was March and I got back to church here and it was like full blown. And, you know, it's like, everybody's got to shut everything down. Everybody's got to quit everything. You remember that? They started in March, you know. And so, and I watched ministers. I watched ministries go through COVID. I watched some struggle and I watched some flourish. You know, I mean, when you're not having church and people aren't coming to church, you know what I'm saying? You got to trust God. How many of the bills still go on? Right? They still, it's some reason or another, you know, they did say, well, you don't have to pay your water bill because of COVID. You don't have to pay the electric bill because of COVID. You don't have to pay the mortgage because of COVID. I don't remember. We probably still had a mortgage back then. I don't remember. I think we probably still did then in 2000, I think. Well, it was 2020, right? I don't know. We've been debt-free for a little bit. But anyway, I mean, none of that stopped. And so there were ministries that really took a hit and went under. There's some that never came back. But I watched others flourish, which we did. We flourished in the midst of it. The first month we were out was one of our best months in a long time. Now, here's the difference. You know, Jeremiah said that cursed is the man that trusteth in man that makes flesh his arm. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose hope the Lord is. He'll be like a tree that will flourish. I saw the difference. The difference was those that trusted and put their hope in the Lord, they flourished. Those that didn't, God didn't curse them, but they were cursed in the, they cursed themselves because they trusted in the flesh and things dried up. Some churches never came back. They didn't. They just went under, but not those that trusted in the Lord. Amen. You know, maybe some needed to go under. You know, like one guy one time was on TV or right, it was the radio maybe. He was saying, this is a faith ministry. And if you don't give, we're going off the air. I said, boy, there's a lot of faith in that, isn't there? No, there's no faith in that. Amen. Now, look at 1 Corinthians chapter 13. How many see this woman, what she did? She just would not allow her hope to be dashed. Even though Jesus, the one she came to for help, told her, said, I'm not going to do anything for you. But she kept at it. And finally, he's like, okay, you got me. Your daughter's delivered. Amen. Now, it's not that he didn't want to deliver her daughter. How many know that? But he just wasn't sent there for that at that purpose. Amen. But she stuck with it. She didn't let her hope be dashed. Amen. You know, I heard a minister say one time he was believing for some things and him and his wife had prayed about it and they were believing it would come by a certain time and midnight came and it went past midnight and it didn't come and he got down and thought God didn't come through and, you know, I don't understand. He didn't blame God, but he's like, you know, what happened here? I don't know anything about faith and so forth and so on. And so he, you know, it went on for a while, you know, him just having those thoughts and then he spent some time praying and the Lord said, the problem is, as you were, and you may have to help me with this, son. The problem is you were moved by a clock, hands on the clock. He said, I didn't tell you, I didn't tell you what time I'd do this in, but you did. So, So he said, I picked it back up, you know, and said, wait, you're right. Just because it went past the time I was believing for doesn't mean it's over with. And he picked it back up, and it came to pass. What he was believing God for came to pass in his life. But he had to pick his hope back up, amen? Because your faith's not going to work if you're not expecting anything. If you just give up, you don't expect anything. Amen. And so that's a big difference. I've just seen that over the years, that you can go preach in one church and have a move of God. You can go preach in another church. Good people, love the Lord maybe, but not have anything much happen. And I've just learned over the years, it's expectation. It's what they expect. It's what they expect. And you get that expectation, faith rises, God moves. But, you know, you don't have that. I preached in one place one time, and I don't mean this mean, but it was the most, probably one of the most unbelieving places I ever preached in, and it was supposed to be a Spirit-filled, full gospel church. And I remember, and Phyllis can verify this, when we left that service, they asked me to come and preach, and so I came over there and preached. It's another state, and I came over and preached, and that was in the days when I was going a lot of different places to preach, and so I came over and preached for them, taught them, and when the service was over, I told her, I said, I'm never coming back here again. I don't care if they ask me. This place is embalmed with unbelief. I'm never doing it again. And so they called, and I went back. And when that service was over, I told her, I said, that's it. I'm never coming back again. This place is embalmed with unbelief. I mean, you can't get this much unbelief on your own. They got to embalm you with it, you know. So I said, I'm never coming back. But they called and I went back. But I never did go back after the third time because they never called again. But it's just like you weren't getting anywhere. They were just full of unbelief, you know. And I've seen that. And I've seen that with churches that ought to know better. But, you know, they just haven't had the right kind of teaching and the right kind of diet. And they're taught, you know, God will move, but, you know, you just never know what He's going to do. But how many know we know what He's going to do based on what He said? He'll do everything He said in His Word. So, but they can be taught that, and, you know, you just never know. And so when you get in that kind of environment, it's just hard to, it's hard to get things done. Have you ever noticed in the Bible that Jesus sometimes would pull people aside? Or maybe he'd run certain people out of the room. Yeah. You know, there was a blind man. I think it might be in Mark chapter 8, Mark 7 or 8. But Jesus got him by the hand and took him out of the city to pray for him. Yeah. And got him healed and delivered. And then he told him, don't go back in that city. Now, why was that? Well, it was because of unbelief. He couldn't get him, and I know this flies in the face of religious people, but the Bible says he could there do no mighty work. Because of their unbelief. Of course, God's powerful enough. If he wanted to override everybody, he could. But we're talking about the way he operates. He operates by faith. And so it said he brought him out of the city, and he told him, I think it was Bethsaida. he got him out of the city. God prayed for him. He was healed. Laid hands on him. He was healed. Then he said, don't go back in that city. Why? Because there's so much unbelief. He knew they'd talk him out of it. They talk him out of it. And he'd lose what God had done for him. You know, Bible says, hold fast that which you've received. Amen. And so he brought him out of there. And there's places in the Bible where you'll see Jesus do that. He'll make everybody leave. You know, like I think it was like Jairus' daughter. When he went in there, they were all in there making a do, you know, over her, the Bible says. You know, they had professional mourners. And they were in there mourning for, he ran them all out. Yeah. Well, he's not going to pray in that unbelief environment. He got them out of there. And sometimes he would only let Peter, James, or John be there. How many know? We know Thomas sometimes had a little trouble with doubt. Remember what Thomas said? After Jesus has talked about, destroy this temple, in 3 days I will raise it. It'll be raised up again. I'll raise it up again. He's talked about that. After all that, when he's raised from the dead, Thomas says, I will not believe. And Jesus heard it, didn't he? He shows up and he says, Thomas, reach your hand here. And Thomas says, my Lord and my God. Jesus said, Thomas, you believe because you saw. Blessed are those that believe and didn't see. That's who the blessing is going to come on. Amen. Not you, Thomas. Now, we're hard on Thomas, but I think he turned out all right. Praise the Lord. Now, here in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, look at this, and I want to read one verse, and then we'll move on here to some other things. 1 Corinthians 13, the Bible says, and now, right now, everybody say now. That's today, right? Abides faith, hope, and charity or love. These three, but the greatest of these is love. Of course, love is, God is love, right? You know, Brother Hagin used to say, people always talked about him being the father of faith, but he said, my walking in love has more to do with my health than my faith does. Because love is the most powerful one. Amen? But I want you to see there's three major spiritual forces here. There's faith. How many know faith is something we probably should know about? How many know love is something we probably should know about? But right in there, in the midst of that, is hope. So hope is something we should know about. Because you're not going to have, if you don't have expectation, you're just not going to have good spiritual health. You know, the Proverbs 13, 12 says that hope deferred makes the heart sick. See? In other words, there's signs of spiritual health. And, just like there's signs of natural health. You know, they take your vitals. You know what I'm saying? You know, your pulse, your oxygen amount. Help me out with this. Blood pressure. You know, those kind of things. Your temperature, you know, and all that. They check that to see, you know, if you got something wrong there. If your blood pressure is like 30 over 20, we've got a problem, right? Wouldn't that be a problem? How many think it'd be a problem? All right. So how many know? And I've heard people like a guy I know, he's in heaven now, but his blood pressure went to almost around 300. It was 280 or 290 something over whatever. How many know? That's a sign something's wrong physically. We got to get this fixed and quickly, okay? So there's signs that we have a spiritual issue. And when we no longer have expectation, we no longer have hope, it's a sign there's something spiritually wrong in our lives, okay? And we need to get to the bottom of that, see? Like if you no longer have a hunger, how many of, if you know, in the natural, if you lose your hunger, that's a sign something's not right. Amen. If that's a sign, I should be pretty healthy. Praise the Lord. But the point is there spiritual signs. You know, I think I've got, well, I teach on like five signs. I haven't taught on here in a long time, but five signs of spiritual health. But one of them is hunger. You know, you got to have hunger. Well, another thing would be expectation. You got to have expectation. And without that, because God is a God of hope, the Bible says. And this is Romans, this is scripture, Romans 15, 13 said, he wants us to abound in hope. Overflow in hope. He's a God of hope. He wants us to confess our hope. You know, the King James says, let's hold fast the confession of our faith without wavering, for he's faithful that promised. The New King James says, let's hold fast the confession of our hope. Because really the word there is really the word for hope. The King James decided to use faith. You could do that. It's not, but really, every place else is hope. So we're supposed to confess what we're hoping for. Amen. I mean, that woman confessed what she's hoping for. Deliverance for her daughter. And so we have to have that. Amen. All right. Let me look at, we got enough time. Let's look at, are you getting anything tonight? Or all right, let me look at Hebrews chapter 6. Go there with me. And then I want to go to one more scripture tonight. Hebrews chapter 6, go there. Hebrews, the 6th chapter. Hebrews, the 6th chapter. And I want to read to you. Let's just begin. Read with me, if you would. Verse 15 is talking about Abraham here. And in Hebrews 6, 15, it says, "And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For men verily swear by the greater, and the oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife or dispute." In other words, in their days, if you swore an oath, that ended it, because these people kept their oaths, all right? So if you swore an oath, it's over with. You're going to do what you said. Verse 17, "Wherein God willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability," that word just means the unchangeableness, "of his counsel, confirmed by an oath, that by two immutable things." Now, the two immutable things, when you read this, you read this whole passage, God made a promise to Abraham, and then he swore an oath. He made a promise, "So shall your seed be." And then he said, "By myself have I sworn, saith the Lord." So that's the two immutable things. God makes promise, then he swears an oath that he's going to do it. How many know God's made us promises in this new covenant, but he swore an oath by the blood of Jesus. Jesus shed his blood on behalf of it. So there's this, those two immutable things, in which verse 18 says, "By which two immutable things," in which it's impossible. Notice this, it's impossible for God to lie. It's just not that he won't, he can't. All right? Did we get that? It's impossible for him. He can't do it. We might have strong consolation, or we would say encouragement, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. Now notice, this is what I wanted to get to, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, which enters into that within the veil. So hope, listen to this, hope anchors your soul. How many know faith is for your spirit man? Think about it. With the heart, man believes, right? And does not doubt in his heart. Faith anchors your heart, your spirit man. But how many know you still got a soul, mind, will, and emotions? And they got to be anchored or they'll derail you. See, the Bible talks about it. It's Hebrews 12, verse 3. It says, to consider Jesus, lest you become, the King James says, weary and faint in your minds. Now, that word minds also means soul. And so the New King James says, lest you become discouraged in your souls. Remember, David said to his soul, when his soul started to get discouraged, hope in God. Hope in God. Why? Because God's given us faith for our inner man, but he's given us hope, that expectation for our soul. Amen. You want to see it work good? Just tell your children, "I'm going to do something for you. We're going to take you out. We're going to take, what's a place kids like to go? Do they still like to go to Chuck E. Cheese? Or is that just for Pastor Chuck?" Right? You tell your kids. I say, "Well, my kids don't know about Chuck E. Cheese." Well, okay. I think somebody told me that one time when I was talking about Christy, yes, Christy. So her kids don't know, so don't give them this message. They don't know about Chuck E. Cheese, all right? But I remember we used to take our grandkids to Chuck E. Cheese, and I don't know, that we adults didn't like it more than they did. I'd play the games and stuff, you know, whack-a-mole. That was Pastor Chuck's game, you know. But you have to drag some kids along to go in there. It doesn't look right. And so you got to find some kids to take with you so you can go play the games and eat the pizza. But how many know if you tell them that, how many know you're going to see some response from their soul, aren't you? They're going to get excited. Amen. And they don't see obstacles. You know, if you tell them that, God forbid this wouldn't happen, but I'm just using this as an example. But just say, you tell your kids tomorrow, we're going to Chuck E. Cheese. I mean, they're rejoicing already. They're not waiting until they get there. They're already rejoicing. Now, if a tornado comes through and blows the roof off your house and lands it on top of your car, that's not going to deter them. The next day, they're going to be, we're still going to Chuck E. Cheese, aren't we? Now, you think that, you know, that cancels everything. Not for kids. Maybe that's why the Lord said you need to become like little children if you're going to enter into the kingdom. You won't be deterred by any kind of circumstance. It's not changing the word that was spoken. Yeah. See, this is where hope has to get to. Where when we, like the woman, like we started out with that story, the woman that wanted, the Syrophoenician woman that wanted Jesus to deliver her daughter, and he said no three times. It did not deter her. It did not stop her. Even though circumstances looked bad, because this is Jesus, the Son of David, who's saying, I'm not going to do anything for you. She just stayed there. And I just love that part where he said, it's not right for me to take the children's bread and give it to dogs. And he said, hey, the dogs get the crumbs under the table. I'm not asking for the whole covenant. I'm not asking for the whole loaf. Just give me a crumb. And Jesus said, hey, for that thing, your daughter's delivered. Great your faith, woman. Amen. Amen. Why? Why was her faith great? Because she wouldn't let go of hope. She wouldn't give up on her expectation. She wouldn't give up. She came to Jesus excited that her daughter was going to get delivered, and she didn't let go of that when things look bad. Sometimes things will look bad. Sometimes you get bad news. We all do. See, one of the things that we need to understand, just because we're faith people doesn't mean we don't have to deal with issues. Right? I see sometimes people attack us like, well, look, they believe in healing. They got sick. Well, that's what healing's for. Of course, people that believe in healing sometimes have to face sickness and fight it and everything else. Paul fought lack. He had to believe God. You see it in, his writings, you know, where he said, I've learned how to be the same, whether I've got abundance or I've got lack. He said, it doesn't change me is what Paul's saying when he said, I'm content wherever I'm at. In other words, I'm not changing. I'm the same. Amen. And we see him talk about his victory. I'm full. I have all and abound. Hallelujah. So we face those things. It doesn't invalidate our message. You understand? It doesn't invalidate our message. It just means we live in the same nasty, dirty, rotten world, demon-filled world as everybody else does. But at least when we have faced something, we got some hope. You know, when a doctor tells us you got 6 months to live, we got another word on that. We got some hope. If you don't believe that, you don't have any hope. And so that's the difference. And so it does. And I know people sometimes get confused about that, and they think, well, they're saying that they never have to face any of that. No, that's not what we're saying. I'm not saying that. Maybe some are, but I'm not saying that because I've lived long enough to know that. That's, pardon the English, that ain't so. You got to have to fight life through. Amen. All right, one last scripture, Ephesians chapter 2. I will say this, when you live by the word, you don't have as much stuff going on. It stops a lot of stuff where it starts. But we still face things. We still live in this, you know, curse-filled world. Amen. And our bodies are still natural, and they try to go haywire every now and then. You got to trust God to put it all back together. Humpty Dumpty falls every now and then. Thank God. The king can put him back together. Amen. All right. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 12. Paul said this. He said to the church at Ephesus, he said that at that time, talking about before they were in Christ, at that time, you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. And notice this, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope. You know, there's people in this world don't have any hope. Because why? They are strangers from the covenants of promise. They have no hope, and they're without, notice this, without God in the world. That is not a place you want to be. You don't want to be without God in this world. But did you know that if you're a stranger from the covenant, you can find yourself in some of the same positions without hope? Because it's the covenant that gives us hope. It's knowing God's word, God's covenant to us. That, you know, and so if you're, you know, you could have a covenant, because everybody gets born again. How many know gets the same covenant? Everybody. God doesn't have a Baptist covenant, a Catholic covenant, a Methodist covenant. He's just got the new covenant, right? And that's for everybody. But if you don't know it, it won't do you much good. I enjoy speaking in tongues. I speak in tongues every day. It's a blessing to my life. Nobody could talk me out of it because, first of all, I see it in the Bible. They all the early church spoke with tongues, right? Apostle Paul did. He said, I speak in tongues more than you all do. And so I'm thinking, he must talk a lot. So it's been a blessing to my life. But did you know if you don't know about that, you're without it? Right? So there's part of God's covenant you're without in this world. If you don't know about healing, if your church doesn't teach on healing, doesn't believe in healing, how many know you're without it? You're without it. This is what it's saying. You're without you. If you're a stranger from the covenant, you don't have any hope in that area where you're a stranger from. You may have it. It may belong to you, but you're without it, you know. You know, you have benefits, you know, you know, certain things that you sign up for and all, you got benefits. But if you don't know the benefits, you might as well not have them. Right? You know, with Amazon that you...
Prime.
Yeah. You were Prime, which you get free shipping. You get free shipping. Well, then I also, you know, I don't guess I knew it, but then I also discovered, I don't know when it was, maybe a year, two, couple years ago, I discovered because they were certain, I think it was some of NASCAR races were on Prime TV. Oh, it was Thursday Night Football. Thursday Night Football went to Prime TV, right? And I'm thinking, I can't watch Thursday Night Football. I can't watch Thursday Night Football. Because I don't pay for Prime TV. And then I discovered, wait a minute, I got it. Because I'm a Prime, what is it called? Prime member? Hey, I got something special going on here, guys. I'm a Prime member. I'm not just a normal member. I'm a Prime member. And I discovered I can watch all of Thursday Night Football I want. All I got to do is just click on, because it's on my smart TV where it says Prime Video or whatever it says. All I can do is click on there and go to NFL and watch whatever, you know, and there's all kinds of things on there. Some stuff I wouldn't watch, but there's sports stuff and stuff on there. And it's like, I didn't know that went with that. Amen. So it wasn't doing me any good. I was just bemoaning like, you know, why are you guys doing this? Going to all this stuff you got to pay for extra to watch your stuff. That just aggravates me. You're not supposed to aggravate the man of God. And then it dawns on me, you know, I don't remember how I found it out, but it dawns on me, wait a minute. I think I just clicked on her to see and found out, hey, I can get on here. And then found out I had this all along. Praise the Lord. How many know? It was one of Brother Hagin's meetings one time. A guy said he was out in the foyer. And he said a woman came stomping out, and she was mad. And she said, I was healed 2,000 years ago and just found out about it tonight. See, she didn't know. She didn't know. And I've seen people like that where once they found out, it's like, are you kidding me? Really? I didn't know that. Yeah, it's in the Bible. Amen. It's part of your covenant. But you got to know the package, right? Amen. All the benefits that go with it. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, you go in there and, you know, when you go to the buffet, when you pay for the buffet, guess what's available to you? All of it. All of it. You know, I don't go to buffets very much because I've been working on losing weight for 35 years. So every now and then I'll go to one and I just got to tell you, I really like it. I just think, you know, everything's available there. You know what I'm saying? And so it's not like you're left out. You got it all. How many know when you got saved, all of it's available to you? But how many know you got to know it? There's one place that we go to eat at. Yeah, it's a buffet. And I think I had to discover that dessert was, you didn't have to pay extra for dessert. And I don't know why I thought you had to, but it was years ago. That one up by the lake. But anyway, whatever. I don't know why I didn't. But then I think one of my friends or somebody told me, well, dessert's included. Are you kidding me? All the desserts are included? Every dessert I want? Pecan pie is included? All of it? Well, how many know that's the way it works with God? When you get saved, whether you know it or not, it's all included. But you can't have any expectation for it, like Paul said here. If you're a stranger from the covenant and you don't know it, you can't partake of it because you just don't know it. And it's not that God's withholding from you. It's not that He doesn't want you to have it. It's just you got to know it. You got to have expectation so faith can bring it to pass in your life. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. It gives support to what you hope for. But if you don't have the hope, faith's not going to be able to bring it to pass in your life. And we don't want that. There's three powerful forces that are working right now. Faith, hope, love. We need them all working in our life. How many know if you don't walk in love, you cancel all of it? You don't walk in love, you cancel all of it. Amen. Did you get something tonight? Let's all stand up. Praise God for the Word of God. Thank God for these powerful forces that we have to work in our life, faith, hope, and love.
That concludes today's message. For more information about Oasis Church, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening.